So for my preach today, I thought I would just ask a question. How many of you do have some type of exercise program or a program that you do some physical activities regularly? Quite a lot of people. Great. So I want to ask you, how's it going with your training program? Is it going well? Do you stick to it? Or is it a little bit on-off? It's a little bit on-off. So I'm going to talk today a little bit about training and exercising. But we're not going to talk about the stuff that we go and do in a gym. We're going to talk about spiritual exercising, what the Bible says about exercise. The one thing I love about the Bible is that God uses all these parables in the Bible to make something that has a deep and difficult meaning easy for a person like me to understand. You know, I used to sit in adult preaches, and I thought, and then sometimes they would have a children's service as part of the adult service, and then I thought, wow, we should have more of that because now I can also understand it. But the Bible is actually full of that. The Bible uses parables to make it easy for us to understand. So we're going to read 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, I'm just going to read this bit again from the second sentence. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, the word says that we must train for godliness. It's not just something that happens or comes automatically. We actually have to train for that. So this is to become more godly, actually means to become like God, like Jesus. This is only possible if we are saved. It's not I that say so, but if we read in the Bible, Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means you cannot become like God if you are not saved, if something does not change. So when we believe that Jesus dies for our sins, then we become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That is something that needs to happen with us before we can train to become more godly. So how do we become in Christ, like this verse is saying? And this is for all the people who have not actually come to a point where you've personally made a commitment to Jesus or accepted Jesus as your Savior. So Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So then when we are saved, then we can actually start training to become more godly. And 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 to 18 says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." He's talking about the image of Jesus. So we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. After we are born again, we are not immediately fully grown up, mature Christians. Then we start growing. Then we start growing in godliness, changing more and more to be more and more like Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 12 to 14 says, "Now, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own," meaning it's taking some effort, "because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." So it talks about effort. It talks about something we need to do. It's not just automatically going to happen in our lives. So now that we've settled that you need to believe in Jesus as your Savior to become more godly, let's go on a little back to what Paul said to Timothy about training. So the first bit that he said is, rather train yourself for godliness. It means there's nobody else that can do the training for you, unfortunately. So we can come to church, but we're not getting trained if we're not going to do something about it ourselves. It's a little bit like going to the gym. You know, you can go to a gym, it's like coming to church. And you can go to the gym every day of the week and go back home afterwards. And you won't change if you don't actually do some exercises in the gym. You actually got to do something once you are in the gym. It's the same with our spiritual training. We can come to church, we can hear a message, but if we don't do something, you know, we're not going to grow spiritual muscles. We're not going to grow into become more like Jesus. So Paul told Timothy, train yourself. There's a big difference between learning about something and doing something. I've started cycling a while ago, and I spent a lot of time on the internet reading all about what's the right type of kit that you can buy, and you can spend a lot of money on kit, and what's the best ways to do your cycling program and everything like that. All of that has not changed anything or made me grow in any way until the moment I actually get on the road and start cycling. It's the same with our spiritual walk as well. You know, we can learn a lot about God and what God is doing in our lives. And we can learn about the gifts of the Spirit. We can learn about faith, about prayer and everything. But if we don't do anything about it, we're actually not practicing or exercising anything. We are not going to grow if we don't actually exercise those gifts. Now it starts, let's take faith and praying for a sick person. If you knew in advance every time if God is going to heal a person or not, you know, you wouldn't actually need faith to do that because you already know the answer. What takes faith and how you practice your faith in trusting God and His Word and go pray for the sick? I don't know why God sometimes heals people and sometimes not, and sometimes when I don't see it in the way that God heals or not, but I trust God. So the way to practice that faith is actually to go and pray for the sick. The same thing is, we talked a while ago about the gifts that God has for every person. And I want to read this verse again in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, talking about the church. And he was not talking to the leadership of the church. This was a message for the whole church. That means everybody has something. Now, these gifts that God has given everybody that's sitting here has a gift from God. Every saved person here has a gift from God. The only way to train these gifts is to actually use them for the common good of the church. It may be that God has called you to speak to somebody, encourage them, or to actually bring a word in the service itself. If you feel a scripture that God has laid in your heart, you know, bring it to the elders. Say, tell them, look, God, this thing is burning in me. I believe this is a word from God. That's the way to exercise the gifts. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So we should not neglect our gifts. God has called you to serve in some way. He has enabled you to do something. Use those gifts. Paul calls us in James 1 verse 22 to say, when he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we hear the word and we don't do it, he actually says we are deceiving ourselves. It would be like me going to the gym and actually not do anything while I'm there and thinking I'm doing a great job. I would be deceiving myself. There would be no benefit for me. So how much exercise should we be doing? I was cycling yesterday and then I rode past a sign that was enticing people to come to this new gym because in this gym, you can become just as fit but do less exercise. That is great. I mean, we wouldn't go for that. There's been many equipment and stuff that people try to put on the market to say, look, you use this thing, and then it will shake your body for you. You don't need to do anything, and you will become fit. But so the medical professions are all in agreement on one thing, and that actually doesn't change anything about your fitness levels or anything at all. If you want to become fit, you actually need to do the exercise. So, if I exercise only 5 minutes a week, or if I cycle only 5 minutes a week, I'm not going to become very fit. Let us go and look just on what Paul is actually talking to Timothy, or what he's actually saying to Timothy. Where is that? When Paul told Timothy that he must train himself, the word that he used for that train is a word gymnazo, which in that point in time was only used for professional athletes, the guys that was really deeply intense in training. So Paul wasn't saying you must go for a leisurely stroll at some point in time. He said you must train like a professional athlete. Now, the guys who's training for the Olympics, does anybody here know how much training they actually do? The professional athletes, they do 30 to 50 hours of training per week. 30 to 50 hours per week. So that is really intense. So what the message that Paul had for Timothy is that you must be training like a professional athlete. So that means actually, as part of your normal life, you may say, well, I don't have 40 hours a week available to train like that. But God has put you in a place where in your situation, wherever you work, you have to exercise your gifts there as well. Otherwise, you cannot put in those hours, or I cannot at least. So Timothy knew he was not in for an easy ride. It was going to be intense. And the Christian walk is intense. We need to train regularly. Hebrews 5 verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Whatever we do in our normal life is actually part of where Jesus told us, where we are. God is speaking to us with His Holy Spirit with us. That is the place where we must train and use our gifts. So how do we train to increase in godliness, to become more like Jesus? If this is not such an easy thing to attain, because it's now we read that it's going to take training to get there or exercise to get there. First thing is to get rid of all the weights and distractions that's holding you back and holding you down. If we come back to the word that Paul used for training over there, the word gymnazo, it actually means that the guys were training naked. And we're not trying to say you must go out into the streets naked, but it meant that everything that would hinder them from performing at their best, they had to get rid of. And that's the message that Paul really has for us as well. Get rid of the stuff that is holding you back from you fulfilling the call that Jesus has on your life. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, a weight can be anything that draws us away from being exactly who God intended us to be. 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So a weight could be any passion of the flesh, anything that's got such a draw on you as a person that it draws you away from fulfilling your call in God. Titus 2 verse 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. We're not talking here about becoming Christians. We're talking about what is required in our training to become more like Jesus. If we have become Christians, who does not want to be more like Jesus, right? So the question is, Are there idols in your life that is weighing you down and hindering from training your gifts, from training who you are to be in God? Are there specific sins in your life that you are struggling with that is impacting your relationship with God? Sin that is weighing you down. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." If there's stuff in our lives that are holding us down, what Jesus wants for us is not to conceal it, but to confess it and forsaking them, and he says that we will obtain mercy. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I mean, I'm cycling, and one of the things that I try to do when I'm cycling is to carry as little as possible weight on me because when I get to an uphill, I know it's going to be hard, and the more stuff I carry, the more stuff I have to carry with me uphill. It's the same in our Christian walk. We need to get rid of the stuff that is weighing us down. When we exercise, it's going hard, the stuff that is not helping us. Psalm 139, verse 23, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." If you are not sure about what's the stuff that's holding you down or weighing you down, the Bible tells us that we can ask God. God will search our heart and show us. So now that we got rid of all the excess baggage, how do we actually train now to become more godly? And there's many guidelines in the Bible. We unfortunately have only one day here, so we can't go through all of them. But firstly, if we want to become more like Jesus, we have to know and understand what Jesus is like. So we have to study the Word. God gave us His Word. Second Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So repeatedly the Bible actually refers to the fact that we're training. And I often miss the fact that it's actually not a sudden thing. It's actually a training process, you know. So the Word says that we should train in righteousness. So we did talk about a little bit how much we should be training. So my question is, if you were to go to the gym, do you randomly wait until it just happens before you go to the gym? Or do you have a set program that says, look, I'm going to go 3 times a week or 5 times a week in the morning? Or, like I used to be before, when it happens, I want to do cycling. And so if it happens, it will be great. And for about 6 years, nothing has happened. I never went cycling because it just never happened. And it's a little bit like that with our studying of the Word. We say, yes, I should study the Word. But if I don't actually decide when am I going to do it, it's likely it's never going to happen. And it comes back to the whole part of train yourself. We cannot only come to church and hear the Word when we're here. You know, we have to study the Word. There's a bit of exercise that we need to do again. Praying. So Jesus was completely dependent on the Spirit's enabling him to do what he did on earth. And he spent much time in prayer. If we want to become more like Jesus, we should be doing the same. So we should be spending much time in prayer. Luke 18 verse 1 tells about how Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so what about when the pressure is tough and you just don't have time for anything in your life? Jesus came to a point where people started hearing more and more about him, and so crowds started to get more and more pressing on him to minister, to teach, to heal people and everything. And what we read is during that time, Jesus prioritized his prayers. Luke 5 verse 16 says, "But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Some of the translation says he would often withdraw to desolate places and pray. I think it was Calvin who made a statement and said, you know, I am so busy in my day that I have to spend 3 hours in prayer, because if I don't, well, I can't remember his exact words, but I cannot afford not to pray if I've got a busy day ahead of me. So the same question is here. How often do we exercise? How often do we pray? Or do we forget? Other ways that we can exercise our godliness is to love others. That's what Jesus did while he was on earth. He loved the outcasts. He loved the unloved people. John 13 verse 35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That is what Jesus calls us to do. Now, love is not always something that's just a feeling and you wait, well, I've got the feeling, or I don't have the feeling of love. Love is actually something that we do. That's why the Bible teaches us that husbands, love your wife. It's an instruction, it's a command. It's not wait for the feeling to appear. And the same way, when Jesus tells us to love one another, it's an instruction. It's not something that you say, no, I don't feel like it. Regardless of how you feel, go and love somebody. Proclaim the gospel. Jesus proclaimed the good news wherever he went, and he commanded us to do the same. Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." When we do that, we are exercising to become more like Jesus. We are exercising to become more godly. Be obedient to what God tells you. We talked earlier about the gifts that is for the common good. If God has given you something, don't neglect the gift. The reason that you're part in this church is not only to come and get a service here, but you're actually in this church to mean something to somebody else. So training is not always easy. There's nothing in the Bible that says training will always be easy. I went for a long cycle ride yesterday, and at some point I really thought, this is not fun anymore. I don't know if I want to do it anymore. But I had to remind myself, why is it that I'm doing this? And it's the same in our spiritual walk. It's not always easy. I don't know how many people here are that says it's always been easy since I became a Christian. You know, we go through hardships in life sometimes, and we don't necessarily always understand that. That is when it's actually taking training and exercise to remind ourselves, I still trust God in the middle of all of this. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness." Righteousness meaning like God, to those who have been trained by it. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And I know it's easy to quote the scripture when everything is going well. But when things are hard, we need to hold on to this. God is faithful to his word. When he says, he will not leave you or forsake you, he will not leave you or forsake you. And that takes exercise to remind ourselves and to say, God, I trust you. You will not leave me or forsake me. I would like to end with this verse, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, or these verses. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So Paul, who was such a great teacher and writer of many books in the Bible, often reminds us, for him it was actually also a matter. He constantly had to exercise. He constantly had to train. this is not only referring to church leaders, but to all of us, all members here in the church.